Okay, so as you've probably already noticed, I'm not Steve. Steve usually leads this time, and so he called in the B squad. But I'm grateful to be here. We thought that Steve was going to be in Bangladesh, but if you've seen him in the hallways, you know he's not in Bangladesh. And so I get the pleasure of being able to help steward this time alongside my brother here, Awajock. If you haven't met Awajock, you need to. He is not only someone who has a strong handshake, he about broke my hand this morning when he shook my hand, but he loves the Lord Jesus. We get the joy and the blessing of being able to hear from him this morning. If this is your first time, just to kind of catch you up a little bit, I was actually in Awajock's seat not too long ago, about a month and a half ago, and Steve, as we've been doing this theme of evangelism, we are trying to get other voices in the church to help us to better see and understand our different contexts. Brandon's really excited about Awajock. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm just going to begin asking Awajock questions. And the hope here is that he talks more than I do because you hear enough of me. So let me pray for us, and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you, as we heard this morning, the church is where we belong. Your people, this place, not just the building, Father, it is the people that are in these seats, the family that we are amongst. We thank you, Father, for the ways that you work through your church, the ways that you sharpen us, encourage us. We just ask, Father, that this time would be glorifying to you. We thank you for Awajock and his story. The ways that you have used him and continue to use him, would you speak profoundly and boldly through your servant? We commit this time to you. We thank you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen. All right, brother. Here we go. So let's kind of do the cliche, you know, standard practice. Tell us about you. Give us a little bit of your background. And if you could, from that, lead into your testimony and share with us about your faith and coming to know Christ.
All right, yeah. So can everyone hear me well? All right, wonderful. So first off, I just want to clear that my name is Awajock, and it's really hard to say. So it usually takes about, like, 10 tries for someone to try to get it right. I think I've had a couple of people get it on their first try, which is actually amazing. But yeah, my name is Awajock Daniel Adung. I was born in Egypt. My family's from actually a couple of different places. But primarily from South Sudan. I was born in Egypt in 2003. I'm the seventh out of eight kids. I guess my household, like religion-wise, we're both Roman Catholic and Presbyterian. We came here in 2009, and we moved to Decatur, Georgia, and from there we moved to Lilburn, Georgia in 2015, and now I'm a student here at Tekoa Falls College. I wanted to maybe integrate my faith journey. Growing up, I did mention, you know, I was Catholic and Presbyterian. I didn't really think too much of it. It was just what my family was, it was a common thing in Alexandria, where I was born in Egypt. There are a fair bit amount of Christians there. I was born in a Coptic hospital. There was a Baptist church there that we knew. You wouldn't really think about this presence of Christianity in Egypt much, but there was a fair bit in Alexandria. My family was really heavily involved in the church, but I really wasn't. In 2009, we came here to the States, and my goal growing up here was just to enjoy life and take hold of, like, I guess what we would call the American dream, kind of get as rich as possible and keep my life, stay away from death, really. I tried to pursue that in a lot of different ways. I was really, really, really into soccer. My family always played soccer. And so I was like, I knew from a young age I wanted to go pro. I wanted to play professional soccer. And I did play well, I'd say that humbly. I played well all the way up to high school, and I'll put a pin in that area right there. Well, something else I also didn't want, really, really want to do is prioritize education, and I also made that an idol. And I knew I wanted to become a doctor. And you know, growing up in an African household, I don't think there are any other Africans here. But growing up in an African household, it's always a thing that your parents always say, if you're not going to become an engineer, you have to become a doctor. If not going to become a doctor, you have to become a lawyer. And I chose a doctor route because my dad was a lawyer. And it's actually interesting. My little brother is now studying engineering. And so I wanted to pursue that because I knew at the end doctors made a bunch of money, and I knew that's what I wanted, and I'd be satisfied. And so I pursued that wholeheartedly, and again, all the way up to like to middle school, and I'll put a pin there again. But yes, I went to church regularly here, but I really didn't think too much of it. I actually didn't like it a lot because it was primarily it was in Arabic, and I really didn't understand much of it, and it was at least my little brother and I thought it was really annoying. And so we'd go to church just because my parents took us, and I just continued to grow up in, I guess, in the culture of society here. Going to middle school, that's probably spiritually the worst time of my life, where I just got introduced to a lot of different things that were they weren't really good for me spiritually. And I, even to the point where around like going into eighth grade, I almost considered myself almost like a Satanist for a little while. And it really wasn't good at all. But I still sometimes went to church with my family, did the right things. I was really good outwardly. I was a very good liar. I did that a lot. And then, the summer going into, and this is where the pins were, summer going into high school, I went to this conference thing that my family always did. I usually was in Toccoa, but this year we went to Ridgecrest, North Carolina. And I used to always go because it was on Lake Louise and I'd go swim. So I'd never really paid attention to the teachings. But this year it was up in a mountain, so there's no lake. And I guess I thought I might as well just listen. There was a guy who preached there who became my youth coordinator, and later on the guy who discipled me. He shared the gospel very clearly through two sermons and someone else through one sermon. The first one he really talked about God's wrath, and from there I really realized I don't know God, but I wanted to kind of put it off. And we had like a 5-minute break, and then someone else came up and. He also talked about the truth of God's judgment, and it was really convicting to me, I realized my position there. But then about 15 minutes later, there was another sermon, but half of it was on God's wrath. But then, and I was almost kind of tired at that time, the other half was on the grace that's shown in Christ, and I realized then that I needed to follow Jesus because I standing before the Lord, I've blown it. I couldn't do anything to save myself, and really I was dead, but there was free grace offered in Christ, and I knew I needed to follow Jesus, and from there I talked to the guy who was my youth coordinator. His name is Sam, just for reference, so I don't just keep saying youth coordinator. I talked to him, and he kind of took me under his wing, and I stayed close with him for a really long time, and he discipled me. He taught me what it's like to follow Jesus. And from there, I went through high school, graduated high school, and then I came to Toccoa Falls College here, initially as a pre-med major, but I switched halfway through to get a nursing degree, for one good reason, very, very good reason. Partially just because my fiance over there, Samantha, I do wanting to marry her, and so I want to be able to provide. And so, yeah, that's kind of my story of how I made it here.
So let me get this straight. The conference that you were at, you had back-to-back sermons with like 15-minute intermissions?
There were three sermons. One sermon with a 5-minute intermission, and then another one. And then there was a 15-minute
That's a gauntlet, man. I mean, yeah. But that's amazing that was so impactful to you, because you kind of you beat me to the punch with my next question was going to be, you mentioned Sam. Let's fast forward to now. You know, this morning our text is on Psalm 84, and we're talking about the church. So really kind of a two-part question here. Talk to us about who are the other Sams in your life that God has placed to help you, to grow you in your faith? And also, could you help us to better understand just even here at CPC, because as a college student, my heart is really soft for you, because I know that there are many students that probably walk in this door not knowing a soul. And it can be very easy to maybe just kind of be on the fringe or just kind of come in and check in and check out. But talk to us about what life at CPC, being a part of the church, and your investment here. Does that make sense? So basically, talk about some more Sams and talk about CPC and your life here in the church.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually really thankful for that question. There were the guy who actually preached the second sermon, he was part of our little community group as well. His name is Gennaro. That's also another hard one to say. He's from Sudan as well. it's primarily him and Sam. Once I started following Jesus, there was another guy from my youth group. His name is Saul. We all kind of got together a lot, and part of the reason why I'm kind of, I guess, crying, because that friend Saul passed a couple years ago, but we always used to get together, and he kind of shepherded us a lot, and we, I didn't expect to do this, I don't know why that happened. So we always got together, and it was Sam and Gennar who kind of mentored us and stayed with us, and we would have Bible studies sometimes starting like at 6, and they would always sit with us and answer our questions. And at times we've gone to like 10 and 12 and all the way to like the morning, and they'd be willing to play basketball with us at like 2 in the morning in the church parking lot, which I know not a lot of people can do now. You have families, and they weren't married, now they are. But they're very intentional in doing that and spending time with us and doing life with us. So those were the two really most impactful in my life. There's another man from my church who's a missionary in Sudan now. His name is Grayson, and he right after the COVID lockdown thing, he kind of took me under his wing as well. And he taught me about carpentry, but also a lot about carpentry, and but also just the practicality of living as a Christian in high school, and in the society that we're in. And he was probably one of the best carpenters I met. And he was blind as a bat. It was crazy. He built his house in Sudan now himself, and he can't see farther than from probably like right here. He's amazing. He's an amazing man. Those are some of the guys that are really influential in my life then. But coming here at CPC, and I really do want to talk about it here in CPC, because it's something that really did draw me to be part of this local church. Is the involvement of older men in my life, and I want to mention specific names, and not to bolster their pride, but I mean to bring praise to God and honor where honor is due. One primarily being Austin Jones. when I came to CPC and I was part of his youth, not youth group, I was part of his community group. And after the first meeting, I asked if I could if he could disciple me. And so he met with me once every week, and he really helped me through a lot of decisions. And I'm very, very thankful for his mentorship. Another being Brandon. I meet with him now all the time, and he gives me a lot of good practical godly wisdom on growing as a young man here in this society. There are a lot of others who I do meet as well with. Like, I work at Walter Beach. I work at his house sometimes, and even though I am just working on his property, I do get to interact with him all the time, and I gain a lot of wisdom just being with him. Another one's Ron Walker. After his wife passed, I was able to be with him a lot on Saturdays, and he would teach me about carpentry. But also, it was really nice being with him and seeing how he goes about life as an older man. And he gave me, and I've gained a lot of wisdom just being to them, being with them. That's. I guess that's some ways CPC is really, I guess.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you say that when you started here at CPC that you actually pursue, or like with Austin, for example, you asked him if he would be willing to disciple you? So talk to us about, that is something that I think can be, And I'm not just speaking to young people. I think just universally here is at the church, that act, that practice of actually going up to Austin and saying, hey, would you consider this? Was that something that was just kind of already in your wheelhouse that you knew? You were like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to find a person that can walk with me. Or was that something that took more courage? Like, because I'm thinking about the folks here in our congregation, we can wrongly misunderstand that, like, oh, this is just for young people, or this is for, you know, young adults. But I myself feel that tension, because I long to be discipled myself and be walking with people that have years in life and wisdom ahead of me. I think that is so important. So could you help maybe kind of detail a little bit more where that started? Was that something initially when you got here? Did it take time?
Yeah. It's something that was kind of cultivated in my local church back home. It was a practice that Sam really, really honed in, and a lot of the younger, not just the younger men, but younger women as well. Our pastors wanted us to be able to meet together in a youth group setting, but also for each individual, every single one of us to have a older mentor, someone who we can continue to meet with every week. And it was, I guess that's something that did help, I guess, maybe give me the drive to do it. But I do understand how it can be a little scary to approach someone and tell them, hey, can I follow you and see you, everything you do in your life, you know? It takes a bit of humility as well. I do commend, I guess, what you just said with it not being only for younger people, almost everyone, if there's someone older who's walked with the Lord a lot longer than you have. From what I've noticed, at least there's a kind of wisdom that comes with experience and age that you can't really get from a book. And I've been able to see that a lot more. And so it's, yes, it's not definitely just to people who are in sixth grade or in college, but all throughout the different walks of life.
The reality is there are folks here, even in this room, I think about that are probably just waiting to be asked or would be so excited to be able to have that question asked of them. And I think even, again, to tie into this morning from our sermon, one of the things that Brandon left us with was just the kind of this call to invest in the church. And this is you are a living testament to that. Let's shift gears a little bit, and because I want us to talk about evangelism. So as a student and pre-med major, and just all the different contexts that you are in right now as a young adult, help us to better see what is sharing your faith look like for Awajok in the different callings that you have as a student, as a fiance, as a friend. Just let us kind of peek into that a little bit from your standpoint.
Yes, all right. So there's, I don't know if this is going to sound more different from what many have heard, but there's the practical, just the straightforward aspect of going and telling someone about Jesus. We're called to do that. This is actually a part of our identity as believers, and I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul talks about how we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God here on this earth. And so we're called to go and tell people about Jesus, to call them to turn from their ways, to repent and believe the gospel, like Jesus says in Mark 1:15. And so I guess that's one clear aspect of it. Like, and I guess practically what that looks like is, if that's going through, Ingles or Walmart, and if the Lord lays on your heart to go talk to someone, share the gospel with them, or to do that, I guess that's what it looks like for me. Something that I'm kind of thankful for, I get these things called, clinical rotations. So I get to go to a lot of different hospitals and a lot of different settings, and something I get to do is sometimes with patients, sometimes with the nurses I'm paired with, or physicians, be able to talk to them about their faith. And I know it's a little, a lot of people in the work setting try to shy away from talking about faith explicitly. There's an understanding, I guess, fact about that, but there's a weightier matter of wanting to share the gospel with people that you see at work, or that I see in clinical rotations, because I know this should be true, and that's why I do want to share the gospel with people like that. Another element of sharing the gospel, is living it out practically, so people could see an example. And this looks like just faithfulness in what you do. For me, that would be, faithfulness in being a student. For people looking at my relationship with Samantha, as being a faithful fiance right now, and soon be husband. Being a faithful, my family, although we were religious, a lot of my out of all the eight siblings, out of seven siblings that I have, I know one who's following the Lord, and the others are not. And so I something I try to intentionally do is, outside of sharing the gospel with them by word, is being a faithful brother to my sisters or to my brothers, and helping them even when it's to my disadvantage. And many of them, a lot of the times that's opened, that's allowed for them to ask questions to me about why I do certain things, even when it's to my disadvantage. And so that's what it would look like, try to share the gospel. I hope I answered that well.
Seven siblings. Yeah. That's a lot. That's more than six. I'm going to take a little bit of a liberty here, just because, I work with students, I work with college students, and my heart for young people, I think about every Sunday when I see a new face that walks in here. How do you feel for the parents in here, adults? How can we shepherd college students well at CPC. What do you think maybe are some areas that we could be more attuned to? I mean, I'm kind of preaching to myself here, but I think about how easy it is to maybe get lost in this room, that this room can feel very big to some people, and to others it feels very small. But what are some ways that we can care for and shepherd young adults that are here, and what are things that y'all are desirous of as it pertains to the church?
It's a bit of a hard question to answer, partially because a lot of the things that are done here at CPC are, from my standpoint, are done very well. And again, part of the reason why I didn't really want to come here. I think of, I guess, like right now, practically with what's going on with Providence Presbyterian, you know, Brandon is very, very involved in the life of people at TFC. And I mean, I have friends who know who Brandon is, and I wouldn't think they would ever step at least in foot of a Presbyterian church, but like he's very involved in the community, but also with the college. I have a friend back there, Nolan Chase. He's, you know, he was helping with our just watching children, and yeah, he's now coming attending regularly. I think I think CPC is doing, I guess, well in wanting to shepherd college students, and I guess an element of that it kind of falls on more the college students themselves being willing to go out and be part of the local church. In my second year, I was an RA, and something that I really wanted to kind of really talk to a lot of my residents about is being part of a local church, and not just getting involved, but being a member and being shepherded there. And out of all the people that I remember, maybe, and I had 26 residents, only one really thought about membership. Being part of a local church and being shepherded by someone who's older is not something that, at least, that I find very, very prevalent in that I found very prevalent in the colleges, which I think it's sad, but I guess, yeah, again, like an element of that falls on the more college students. I think there's not a big importance of wanting to go and be part of a local church and being shepherded by older people, because there are countless people who I can name. That I haven't met with, I know would be willing to spend time and talk to me about just their lives, even their busy lives. And again, I keep using Brandon as an example. He's the only one here right now I can think of right now. But his wife is having a child. He's leading Providence Presbyterian. He's doing a lot of these other things, and he lifts weights and runs all and does all that. But he still finds a way to, you know, like, meet with me, and same with some of the other older men that I know. So I think, again, this is a praise God moment, but I'm very thankful that Christ Presbyterian wants to do that. I pray that Providence does that too.
Brandon, if you were if you walk out of here and are like slumping or just trying to, you know, be boohoo, I mean, you should be encouraged. This is, Brandon's awesome. I love Brandon too. But let's land the plane here. I agree with you about the importance for college students to have some skin in the game to go. There is an element of where you can invest deeply if you put yourself out there and are willing to kind of, because it can be very isolating. And I think that's what I think I'm trying to think of ways that we can be more welcoming to our college students here at CPC, and I think that is continuing to grow and to be cultivated. What encouragement would you give not just these young folks here, but to the listener here this morning as you think about living your faith out boldly? Because let me tell you, as I listen to you, and I've thought about this from the moment I met you, you don't waste your words, and you are a man of conviction, and you are a man that I know loves the Lord Jesus, and it's very cool to hear just the different kind of signposts that you've helped us to see of where the Lord has brought you to here. But what encouragement would you give us as we think about the reality is, I talk about this with our students, sharing your faith with someone, especially someone that you've never met, that can be terrifying. and that can be something that maybe is somewhat awkward. But help us, and I think you shared a little bit about it just even as you were talking about with your clinicals. But could you expound on that maybe just as an encouragement to us as we think about sharing our faith and talking to people about who Christ is?
This is not going to be, probably might not be the most profound statement that you'll ever hear. But in all honesty, I think to my encouragement is just to do it. Just if the Lord, puts in your heart to go and share the gospel with someone or to talk to them, be faithful to the Lord and just do it. There's a pastor we used to listen to. His name is Vody Bakum. And he would say just salute and execute. And so there's an element where it's always, when you start off, it's gonna be awkward. You're gonna stumble and fumble over your words. But over time, you'll grow in how you share and the ways you do it. You learn from a previous experience. Okay, I probably shouldn't have said this way, or I'll do this next time. And so that's probably my encouragement. You just have to go and do it, and don't worry about how many people you're going to convert and or really impact. You don't worry too much about that, and you leave that just to the Lord. But you just be faithful to the Lord. That's my final encouragement.
Awesome. Okay, so we've got some time here. Oop, there. Brandon already is ready for a question. Do you know Brandon Hawks, by the way? He's the pastor at PPC. We are going to open the floor for questions, so we're going to start with Brandon. Brandon, you're up.
Yeah, I came here when I was 5 and a half, and so the majority of my life I grew up here, and the culture that I've adopted is the American culture. Not just that, but also primarily here in the Southeast, and that's had a huge impact on my life. I guess the way I go about doing things, but I still do remember a good amount of things and different things we would practice and things we would do. And my family, of course, they grew up there in the Middle East. And so it's, it hasn't really, I guess the way I've looked to, No, I can't. Sorry, I can't. There's not a big difference in our cultures, at least that I can think of that would impact the way I live. So, sorry about that.
I love how you think through what you're going to say, because I usually don't. respect. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, that is a really good question. So how have my parents, they've been very encouraging for everything that I'm doing. My dad is he's an elder. I go to a Southern Baptist church in Clarkston, and there's a Sudanese Southern Baptist church, which is interesting how you kind of get all that. But yeah, he's part of that. He's an elder there, and it's been really encouraging to him, I guess, to know that I was following the Lord, and he's been, I guess, pushing me to follow the Lord even more faithfully. Same with my mom, and it's there are a lot of times in which it's been an encouragement to her. For one instance, when her mother died, when my grandmother died. We would always talk about certain things about like how should we deal about this? And I was the only one that really talked to her about it with our family out of my family, and she was really, I guess, encouraged in that moment, and was able to go talk to people in Egypt and Sudan about, I guess, how to deal with it, and she led that really well over there. And so it's they've been very, very, I'm very thankful to the Lord for them, and as time has gone and passed, I'm realizing more how they've been very influential in everything I do, I guess, in my walk with the Lord. So yeah, they've been really encouraging.
Follow-up question. This one's personal, so you may not want to answer.
No worries.
Was your family part of the refugee community in Clarkson?
No, ma'am. No, we moved... We're in Decatur. The community we were around was heavily. There were a lot of refugees, but we immigrated here without refugee status.
So your family's not like involved in that ministry down
there. They're involved in helping, but we didn't come in as refugees. So. Cody was first. Yes, it was a lot of, we were primarily Roman Catholic in tradition. We'd go to the Catholic Mass, especially on Easter, and actually, we went there quite more often than Easter and Christmas. We knew the priest there. He was the one that he baptized me, and did everything there, but we would also just go to a Presbyterian church that, like my dad was very good friends with the pastor there, and there were a lot of Sudanese people that just went there, and so wherever Sudanese people were, we just went, and so we were involved with the Presbyterian church and also the Catholic church, and there were a good bit of similarities, and so we were able to do that a lot easier. The Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church was played a big had good emotional ties with my father when he was sick. It was actually a point where he was close to dying. They were the only ones that were able that came and talked to him and visited him, saw how he was doing, and so once he got better he decided he wanted to continue to go there. And that's actually how he gave his life to the Lord. that's how he got involved there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd love to give you like the detailed blueprint of every single point of what I was going to do, but I haven't written that yet. That's next week's project. I guess my main priority is going to be with my family, and in leading and teaching my family to follow the Lord, and then from there, my desire is to be with whatever local church the Lord has me in, whether it's here or with Providence. I know Samantha and I have talked about this a lot, and just being as much as involved as we can in going out in the community with the church, but also more importantly, I'd say seeing those who are younger here and being with them. Just kind of like how Sam was a mentor to me. I want to continue to replicate that, and by God's grace, I'd love to. So that's the frame right now. I'll give you the bullet points later, I guess.
Anybody else? Oh, Joel Bailey.
Oh yes, yeah, so that's a fantastic question. So it's my Awajak is a it just means ruler of a small area, and it's a name in my family's tribe language, and I think the way it's spelled, I'm the only one of Awajok in the world, and so that's. I guess a cool little perk that CPC gets to have, it just means ruler of a small area. One of my friends, my freshman year, his name is Ryan. He told me that his name means little king, and so I said, I guess if we really wanted to stretch it, Awajak kind of is the same. It's the same thing as Ryan, and so he called me Ryan for a while. Because I couldn't say Awajak, so if that helps anyone too, you can call me Ryan.
That is so much cooler than the name Joel.
Joel is nice. Joel is in the Bible.
Yeah. Awajak. We won't get into what Joel means. All right, guys. It is 9:45, or excuse me, 10:45. Thank you so much, and. I couldn't agree more with Annalie. You have, and don't let this go to your head, you have a humble heart that I think is infectious, and I believe is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that we can learn a lot about just the way that you approach life, the way that you see it. And I thank you for your willingness just to share with us about who you are. And I'm grateful that I get to go to church with you. and excited about Samantha. Yeah, excited about life, right? Great things on the horizon. So let me pray for you, and we'll dismiss. Father, thank you for just this time that we've had to spend with Awajak and to hear your story that you have woven together. The ways, the people that you have placed in his life, the way that you have shaped his heart, his mind, and his loves, Lord, the ways that he longs to be a man of faith. And I thank you for the ways that he just talks about you and the areas that you are using him, be that at school with clinicals, here at CPC, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to raise up folks within our midst here at CPC that can be disciplers, and that we could, if we are at a place where we are discerning or longing for that we would take that next step. And Father, as Awajak said, that we would be bold in our faith, that we would just do it, even if it is uncomfortable or awkward. We would trust and know that you, by your Spirit, are the one who changes hearts. It's not anything eloquent that we say. It's just showing up and being faithful. Would you help us in those places, Lord? We thank you for this time. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen.